Welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast, presented by the Sherry Group, LLC. Enjoy the episode.
Yes, welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast. My name is Drew Demery. I'm joined here with David Sherry and Glenn Svetnicka. Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm really excited today. We get Glenn, who is one of our partners at the Sherry Group, to join us for his first podcast. This is great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Woo! Welcome, Glenn. How are you feeling?
Life is good. It's always a good day when I'm with the Sherry Group.
Yeah. Nice. Well, today we are talking about staff training and orientation. Summer camp is right around the corner, and we want to try to help people prepare for a great summer. So, Dave, when we think about staff training and staff orientation, as many folks call it, what comes to mind? Staff training, where do we even start?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. For me, staff training, there's two things that come to mind, right? One is that it's a constant evolution. As we are learning as camp directors and finding, we're always looking for the next way. What's another way that we can deliver this message, keep our staff engaged? We want them to learn the information and to develop the skills, but we're always looking for the next best way to do that in a way that is engaging and positive. And so that's one of the things I think about and some of the stuff we can talk about today. The other thing I think of when I think of staff training is my mindset was always, you call it staff orientation or the couple weeks or week or whatever they have set for staff training should really just be the start of staff training. And I really want to encourage camps to think that staff training runs through the last day of summer camp. We're constantly training. We're constantly improving. And we need to have that mindset with our staff. And so we can correct actions and make teachable moments throughout the summer. We can regroup and do additional training opportunities, but training should be a summer-long process.
Absolutely. Glenn, we have a kind of a motto here on the podcast, or maybe it's a philosophy, where we start with the goals. What do we want out of this thing? And then we build curriculum or we do things to meet those goals. What are some of your goals when it comes to staff training? Are you looking to teach skills or team building or do a project? Well, let's start at the end. What are your goals for staff training?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, all of the above, or D, all of the above. You want to hit all those marks. But you and Dave have hit on it already, this nuance between staff training or staff orientation. In a week's time, it's not possible to give every scenario and teach every skill and get everything in everybody's head. I always like to approach it that you're orienting people to the culture of your camp. And you can't be everywhere all summer long, but your culture can. And if you can orient people to that culture and your standards and your expectations, that's going to be a successful summer. And echoing and completely agreeing with Dave's point, it's a summer long endeavor. It doesn't stop until the last camper goes home.
Absolutely. I think that there's probably a balance to be struck between learning the curriculum or the theoretical knowledge of working with children. Another piece of this pie is that we are learning by doing, like we're practicing how to manage homesickness by role-playing and we're having great discussion. We're getting camp ready. There's always endless projects to do before kiddos arrive, whether it's maintenance stuff or housekeeping or getting your own cabin ready. So there's like a level of service there, maybe. I also cannot understate how important it is for people to feel like they belong and that they're safe in this space. It's hard to thrive when you don't feel safe and you don't know your surroundings. So you get out there and you walk through the woods, or you see where the archery shed is, or you really have to just develop a sense of self and well-being in this place where you're going to be spending the next couple of months. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, I think you're dead on, but I think part of that feeling safe is feeling safe with the people you're around, developing relationships, creating a safe place for staff to work and be successful at that work and to express themselves and to lead and to learn. And certainly being familiar with the area and knowing where things are builds confidence. Also knowing that, hey, you know, my co-leader has my back and I can speak openly and I can ask questions because my supervisor is encouraging that and is supporting me when I'm asking questions and giving me the help when I need it, and feeling like you've built a strong enough relationship and connection to the people who are around you, whether they're people who are doing the same job as you or in different roles, just your community for the summer that makes you feel safe. That's a big part. I kind of lay out maybe 5 goals if I had to narrow it down for staff training. And not that these aren't necessarily in particular order, but as I was writing those down, that was the very first one, was just relationship building and building a sense of team, creating that safe place was the first thing I put down. And then skill building, and there's all kinds of skills we can talk about, everything from being able to lead a program and lead a song to dealing with homesickness to there's, you know, literally a long list. And then knowledge building, just a transfer of knowledge and teaching knowledge, things that they need to help them with my fourth goal, which is decision-making. We really want to teach how to make good decisions. And not only do we want to teach them how to make good decisions, we need to give them the information, the knowledge, and the skills in order to make good decisions. But we also have to empower them to feel free to make those decisions. A cabin counselor could make 100 decisions a day. They need to feel empowered to be able to make those decisions so that they're not just stuck in fear to do anything. And then the last thing that I've got on kind of my list of goals is to build confidence. We want our staff to come out of staff training with confidence that they can deliver. Now, I don't believe that a first-time counselor, I think it's probably pretty rare the first-time counselor comes out of a 1 or 2 week orientation and is 100% confident. You can't grain what it's like to be in a cabin with a group of kids and lead them through the day until you experience that. We want to certainly have a level of confidence built not only in themselves and their skills, but in the team around them. That injection of confidence is, I think, key.
I have had an aha moment here, and that is around this concept of confidence. That is crucial, right? I remember being a camp counselor myself the first time and going, whoa, I just went through 2 weeks of staff training and I've been bombarded with information and like, am I ready to basically be a parent for a week? I'm 18 years old and I got 10 kids coming my way. Like, do I feel confident in those skills? And I've heard that year after year as a camp director, is that staff are wondering about that confidence in themselves. You know, like, am I ready? And so I'm wondering how you might build that confidence up, Glenn.
Yeah, let's be clear. That confidence thing is not just first-time counselors. That's all the way up to the executive director. Everybody is questioning, do I have what it takes to get through this summer? And, you know, getting in staff orientation, it always helped my confidence as an executive director when I knew what kind of team I had and who I was going to be able to depend on and who was there for, you know, the safety pieces or the buildings and grounds. It was not unlike the great NFL draft we just had, right? You think you know what you need, but until you start doing it, you don't know what you have and you don't know how you're going to organize it. And that's why staff orientation is so critical. You have to give people confidence, no question. That probably should be number one. But then you got to give it to them in a version that they know how to receive it. And most of that is knowing who to ask. You know, I think it's really important for everybody to know who they can depend on and who reflects the culture the best and who's going to give them straight up, no nonsense replies to what they need. And then if you sprinkle in all this, the great learning modalities, not everybody learns the same way. Staff orientation, you've got to vary how you're giving it to them. You know, I sat through an orientation that had 400 PowerPoint slides, and that should be against the Geneva Convention, right? That's not fair. You got to get people out experiencing what you're trying to orient them around. And I think it's a process. You can't rush it. You absolutely have to give it enough bandwidth And you've got to give everybody enough confidence that, yeah, they're there because you want them there, and that it's going to be a great summer because they're there. You can't drill that message in loud enough or strong enough.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break here. We've discussed the goals and the outcomes that we are seeking for staff orientation. Second half, let's get into more of this, how the heck do we do it, right? We're teetering on the edge of what are we doing and how are we doing it? So let's take a quick break here. In the second half, we'll dive back into some more of those details.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by the Sherry Group, LLC. The Sherry Group specializes in serving summer camps and nonprofits nationwide, now offering executive coaching, master planning, fundraising, and staff training services. Contact the Sherry Group today to learn more. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yes, welcome back to the Sherry Group podcast. My name is Drew Demery here. I'm joined with Dave and Glenn. We are talking staff orientation. First half of our episode here, we are talking about some of our goals and outcomes and why we do staff training. Let's get into some of those hard-hitting details of how do we do this? One of my favorite things to do during staff training is to have very intentional, what I call family groups, where a new staff member is paired with a returning staff member, and maybe there's a lifeguard in this family group and a high ropes person. And it's a small group of like six or seven people. And it's a very intentionally diverse group. They all have maybe different roles or something like that, where they feel confident and comfortable asking their peers about what happens at the pool. I didn't quite catch that. Or, okay, you're a returning staff member. I'm kind of concerned, or I don't quite know what's going to happen at mealtime. Can we like walk through that again? Or like just a very intentional small group where it's peer on peer learning. Glenn, how else might we do staff training? You spoke about something very important there about not just doing PowerPoint slides and reading a manual for 3 weeks. How else can we do staff training if not that way?
Yeah, I think it has to be a both and. It's got to be everything in your bag of tricks. One of the best ways that I think everybody learns is experientially. So when you're in the safety elements and whether or not you're a lifeguard, you need to know how to assist should there happen to be an event. And some of my most vivid staff training, and believe me, we've done a lot of them, is just strapping people to longboards, for instance, you know, where you actually do it. It, you get to experience how uncomfortable that is and how important it is to have somebody that may or may not know first aid that's just there calming the person and you know, tell them everything's going to be okay. I use that as an example intentionally because it's a microcosm for staff training. To your point, you got to have these little family groups where someone's telling a first-year counselor, it's going to be okay. This is a lot of information, but we're going to help you through this and we're going to get you safely to the other side of the summer. So I think you've got to be very intentional about those experiential trainings and making sure that they're done with a design and an end in mind. You don't want to just let people know how to get on the longboard. You want to know that it's everybody going to have a role should we have an emergency. And these concepts are really what you're trying to get into. To me, safety, hospitality, those get their own tenants. And we got to draw that, draw everybody back to those in everything we do, whether it's PowerPoint, whether it's experiential out in the wilderness, or if it's talking about it around the campfire and debriefing what we learned that day.
Right. Bringing everything back to the overarching mission and values of our organization. You know, when we're having moments at the pool, that's a teachable moment to teach the values and the mission of our program. And that can start during staff training. Absolutely. Dave, how else are you doing staff training?
I think you have to start by, you know, we just finished talking about the goals. I think you need to start as a camp identifying what are your goals. And like everything we talked about in all of our sessions, we need to be very intentional about our design, right? And so there's two places that I think that we need to really start. One is just understanding how large of a priority this is. You know, I'm always concerned when I hear camps asking questions about staff training and putting together their staff training schedule in late May. right? This is something that probably is the largest priority or the most impactful thing that you're going to do all year. It directly impacts camper safety. It directly impacts staff safety. And it directly impacts camper experience and staff experience and retention of both campers and staff. And it has impacts on everything from your camper retention and mental health and skill development and budget implications. And it all comes back to this team and how well your team has come together and how well trained they are. It needs to be a priority that is worked on year round and is really intentionally designed and honed in and continue to be made better year and year. So that's one big thing where I think you have to start is just treating it like what it is. But secondly, I think you have to start with making your list, right? For me, that means going through that goal and saying, all right, skill building, what skills do we need to train on? And what knowledge do we need them to have? And just create an old school spreadsheet of listing out what all those things are. Go through the ACA standards manual, one standard at a time, and list out everything you need to know, right? Let's get all of that put in front of us. And then once we have that list of everything we want to cover that is intentionally helping us meet our goals, then we start doing what camp people do and design program. So what is our program going to be to teach skill line A on our spreadsheet? And what is our program going to be to teach whatever? And I think that there needs to be a mix of things. We need to be careful not to sit in front of a PowerPoint for a week or two. I think that we have to do experience-based learning and getting out and letting them do the skill and experience the skill. And then we process that skill and learn from it. But there is some transfer of knowledge that has to be just sat down and have conversations. But those conversations need to be less speech and more discussion and interaction. And I think that our staff learn best when we're connecting a piece of information to a life experience or an actual camp experience. So when we are having those lectures, I would rather they be discussions. We want to make sure that we're focusing them around things that they can connect with. But it has to be a connection. We need to get out, and we can't teach archery from sitting at a desk, right? We need to be out doing archery, and we can't talk about how to build a campfire without building a campfire. And we can't talk about a lot of those things without being in it, I think is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with learn by doing. That's one of my favorite philosophies when it comes to camping is that good old 4-H motto of learn by doing. It's experiential and it comes back to our values and mission. You can do archery in a way that promotes your mission and values if you teach that during staff orientation, that this is the expectation. It's one of my favorite things to say during staff training is this is the expectation. I drop it in like every hour. Staff hear it so often. The expectation is at archery, we're not just teaching archery, but we're teaching archery to promote character building.
I also think it's important to understand that we're asking them to not only learn these skills or learn this knowledge, but we're asking them to teach it, right? And so that comes with repetition. We can't take somebody, teach them a new skill one time and move on. That's why I'm a fan of as long of a staff training as you can afford to provide, whether it's afford financially or timeline or whatever, but repetition. We want to do things over and over again, and that the more often we do them, the more trained we become and the more practice it is, and practice helps.
Oh, I want to give you a big amen on that. The repetition piece is key, and it's a great way for your program staff to help get some skills going. When you're up there in front of your group, it's pretty easy to tell when they start glossing over during training. And that's a perfect time to have somebody whip out fire building or, you know, something experiential that gets people more motivated and get the juices rolling again. But it's also practicing those same skills. And, oh, by the way, it's teaching people that if you're starting to lose your campers, you got to do something to mix it up. You can't just keep hammering away at whatever it is that you're doing. You got to give them some variety and to teach them those skills, to literally role model it during orientation. Yes. Amen, brother. I'm gonna give you guys a big shout out there.
So some of the challenges that I've seen that camp directors need to overcome and that I've needed to overcome in the past is overscheduling staff training. I've got 54 topics to get through in 7 days, and I schedule everything down to the hour or the half hour, and that's not the way to do it. I'll be frank. The way to do it is to allow for some blocks where nothing is scheduled. And that way, if you need to, you know, come back to an idea or you forgot to mention something, then that's a great time to do that. Or, you know, if you're like, okay, well, let's just take a break. Actually, let's let you all have some downtime because this is all just a lot to wrap our brains around, and so have some downtime to build some community. And the second challenge that I want to talk about is prioritizing what you really want out of staff training. If every hour of every day you're saying this is the priority, then that's too many priorities, right? You've got 40 different things and nobody knows quite what the actual priority is. Is it being a good camp counselor or is it leading mealtime the right way? So prioritizing what you really want these people to learn. Those are two challenges and solutions, I think, to those challenges. Dave, what common challenges or nuggets do you have that you want to impart on folks here while we have 5 or 10 minutes left?
Don't overthink it. I think that as camp people, we can, was it paralysis by overanalysis, right? Like we can really overthink sometimes. And staff training has been an ongoing discussion for the 30 plus years that I've been in the camping space. Everybody's always trying to think of a better way. And that's good. We want to continue to try to improve and grow and change things up. But if we can create those goals and understand what our goals are and keep our goals simple and clear, and if we can create the list of the knowledge nuggets and the skills that need to be met, and then we do what camp people do, which is program, right? We know how to teach. We know how to program. We know how to teach skills. We need to be who we are and run camp and not overthink these things too much. Try to make it interactive, engaging. I also really, really like what you said about schedules. This is something that I struggled with for years, trying to get my summer staff to be more fluid and less structured during the day, right? Like, I need you to show up to meals on time so the food is hot. And there are certain programs I need you to be at on time just because of the nature of the program. But other things, I kind of want you to feel this freedom and creativity to work with your campers. And we struggled a lot of time in creating an atmosphere where they would feel that kind of freedom and independence and confidence to really be empowered to, hey, we're going to do something else, or we're going to take this teaching moment and ride with it. And what I have since realized is that I think we are modeling a behavior of being structure driven in staff training. And I would rather say, here are the blocks of time that we're going to be teaching. Here are the things we have to be at for Tuesday of staff training. We have to be at breakfast, lunch, and dinner at these times. You know, there are certain responsibilities we have to meet time-wise. These are the blocks of time that we're going to be working on training items. These are block of times that are going to be downtime, scheduling in some time for catch-up because we always fall behind, but make sure we schedule in some time for that. But instead, you know, if those are blocked off like that, then say, here are the list of objectives we want to complete today in more of an outline form. And start right away by modeling the ability to have, you know, some creative freedom throughout the day. And if a group is having a great moment and working well, and you want to stay on a theme, stay on that theme.
I love it. Way to go, Dave. Glenn, what nuggets of wisdom do you have to drop here for our audience?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat it because I think it's that important. You can't be everywhere, but your culture can. So tell yourself that every day you're creating that culture. You're creating it in your team building it, you're creating in the themes. And to Dave's point, have some flexibility in your day so that if they start to pick up on a culture of you see it, you own it, then go practice it. That's one of the nuggets that I like to drop in there is that everybody has a responsibility. If they see something, they own it to either correct it if they can or get somebody that they know can do it if they can't. So if there's a live electrical wire laying out there, don't touch it. You know, be smart enough to do that and go get the maintenance guy to help you because that person is going to be able to be better equipped to take care of that. But if you know how to do it, the culture says take care of it. It's not just, you know, the housekeeping responsibility to pick up the trash in camp. That's everybody's. That's a cultural standard. So, yeah, everything you do, bring it back to this cultural standard because you can't be everywhere, but your culture can.
I love that. I'm going to try it out someday. That's really cool, Glenn. Thanks for that nugget of wisdom. Well, guys, I think that's time. We've been talking here about a passion of ours, staff orientation, for about 30 minutes. So I think with that, we'll sign off. I am Drew Demery, joined with David Sherry and Glenn Svetnicka. This has been the Sherry Group Podcast. We will see you next time, and good luck this summer, everybody.
This has been the Sherry Group Podcast, presented by the Sherry Group, LLC. Thank you for listening.